Good morning, everybody. Amen. Amen. That's great. It's great to be here this morning. This is the last church we have been roaming around Australia. We left home just after Easter, and then we went to Gold Coast for an ICC conference, and then Melbourne, Canberra, and now we are in Perth. This is the last Sunday. Next week we'll be going. Amen. It's great to be here this morning. Just a bit of ourselves. We took over from Pastor Robbie, who had been in Mozambique for 25 years. I was one of the first intake of students in the year 2000, and I've been trained under them, not only her, but with her husband, who passed away in 2004. But I've grew up under their ministry, and now I'm here, and we have taken over the ministry and continuing the ministry in Mozambique. Amen. My wife and I, we are leading with a team there in Mozambique, and we are continuing the work that was started by them in Mozambique, the Bible College. We focus on the three major areas. We have the leadership training, which is the Bible College, and also church planting and community development projects. On the community development project this year, we are pushing we want to build a Christian primary school in Beira, Mozambique. Why? Because having the experience of running a daycare center that we used to run, we are thinking that's a good idea for us to push in and really help in the education area with building a Christian primary school on the land where we are. Why? Because for others, Mozambique, a lot of students, they are just at school maybe 3-4 hours at the max, and that's it. And you have a teacher with more than 75 to 80 students in a classroom, grade one, and a lot of them didn't have an opportunity of early learning, and how can you teach them how to read and write? It's complicated. So we wanna do our part as an organization and in that area, building a primary school, and for us to help in that way. That's one of the things that we are doing. It's great to be that way. Why? We wanna expand. We wanna continue what have been started, but also expanding in another area. That's our responsibility, to expand. Amen. I call myself that I'm a boomerang, because I a missionary sent in Mozambique. Pastor Robbie and her husband went to Mozambique, and then I'm coming back to Australia and ministering around. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's great. It's great. It's great. So I call myself boomerang. My wife and I, we have been in ministry for years. I was one of the first intake in the year 2000, and she enrolled in the year 2002. She came to the Bible College. We met in the year 2000 when she came and visit one of her cousins who was my colleague in the year 2000 at the Bible College. And then she came at the Bible College in the year 2002. And we have been married since year 2003. We have 4 kids, 2 boys and 2 girls that are waiting for us. They are saying, hey, you better come back home. Amen. So that's good. Amen. All right. Great. We were given a topic which is great. When we are talking about faith, what I love about it, it's in Portuguese language, because Mozambique, it's a Portuguese-speaking country. So in Portuguese, the word faith have only 2 words, F-E, and that's it, fé, and that's it. But it's not easy to live and walk and live a life of faith. Amen? So it's not easy. It's a small word, but it's not easy. My topic this morning, when God is silent. Now, sometimes in life, God is silent. Amen. I don't know if you have passed through in your journey called life. As a Christian, you pass through a time that God is silent. It is true that sometimes God is just silent. You have done what you know how to do. You have prayed, you have fasted, you did everything that you know you must do, but in the same moment, God is silent. What does it mean? What is happening when God is silent? Does it mean that He's not doing anything? Amen. Does it mean that God is not doing anything when He's silent? Does it mean that God is ignoring our requests and ignoring our prayers because He's silent? When God is silent, what's happening? Because sometimes a lot of people lose faith in a season like that because just God is silent. There's time in life that you pass through and heaven is like an iron bar. You are praying and nothing is happening. Your prayers are not penetrating heaven. And you are doing what you should do, but God is silent. So this morning I want to cover with you some of the principles, some of the things that I have learned, and some of the things that are written in the Word of God. What happens when God is silent? Are we together? What happens when God is silent? Because when you talk about faith, it's an ability and having capacity to continue when God is silent. All right? Because if faith is not based on what God is doing, faith is ability to continue, even if God is not doing anything. So what is happening when God is silent? Number one, when God is silent, God is concentrating with the vessel. God is working with the vessel. God does not move unless the vessel is prepared. So in the time that God is using and is preparing the vessel, God is silent. For those of us who use the old Bible, you find out in between your Bible, the blank pages are there, which represent the 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In those 400 years, God was silent. Does it mean that God was not doing anything? No. You find out that at the end of the 400 years of silence, bam, Jesus Christ is born. Jesus comes, He is born after the 400 years of silence. Why Jesus is born? Because the vessel that God wanted to use, they were ready. Mary and Joseph are born. And they are the vessel that God wanted to use to be the earthly family of Jesus Christ here on earth. And if you look on the Word of God, you know, when God is silent, what God is doing, He's dealing with the vessel. God does not move unless the vessel is prepared, unless He is a vessel for Him to use. So in the season that God is silent, God is working with you, the vessel. Amen. And it's not easy when God is dealing with the vessel, because in that season, God is not saying anything. After the 400 years of silence, Mary and Joseph, the family, the two people that were prepared by God, that who will believe, who have faith on the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ, they are ready. And then Jesus is born. They were mature enough to receive and to believe by faith the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ. So God is silent. Why is he silent? When he is silent, he's working with the vessel. Amen. Are we together? So when the vessel is not mature, God won't work. God works with the vessel, and when the vessel is mature, then we see Jesus Christ is born. In John chapter 1, verse 1, the word of God says, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. But the word became flesh. Why Jesus became flesh? Because the vessel that God wanted to use, they were ready. And John explains to us the beginning before the beginning. In the book of John, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God. But in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, the Word. So John reveals to us the beginning before the beginning. And when Jesus is born, it's because the vessel was ready. Mary and Joseph was the vessel that God was preparing. Luke chapter 1 verse 26. The word of God says like this. Now on the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to somebody who was there. In verse 27 in the same chapter, the word of God, he was sent to a woman. Who was that? Mary. She was already betrothed to the man. The word betrothed in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in that time, it means that this lady was prepared for marriage. She was mature, ready, a vessel that was ready. So what I'm saying, if God is silent, God is working on the vessel. Look in the word of God, the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Because Eli and his sons, they were not walking in the ways of God. And God was silent. And the word of God says, the word of the Lord was rare. But verse 4 of this 1 Samuel chapter 3, you find out the word of God says, then the Lord called Samuel. What is calling? Why God is calling Samuel? Because he is the vessel. He was ready to respond to the calling of God. God was preparing the vessel before he started speaking. And the Psalm chapter 99, verse 6, the word of God says, and Moses and Aaron were among the priests, but Samuel was among those who called upon his name. Because automatically Samuel was not of the part of, was not from the Levite tribe of the priest. Samuel became a priest by faith. Amen. So when God is silent, he's working with you as a vessel. Are you ready? Are you mature enough to receive the blessings of God? Are you mature enough to receive the answers of the prayers that you are praying for? Because God works with a vessel before you do anything else. So what I'm saying today, don't freeze. Don't lose faith in the season that God is silent. His silence, it means that he's working on you. God is working on the vessel. God does not move unless the vessel is prepared. And what I love, the word of God says, all things works for good. All things. Not only good things, all things. Amen. Faith, are you prepared for all things? That's what the word of God, all things works for good. All things. So it doesn't say only the blessing. No, all things works for good. For those who believe in him.
So when God is dealing with the vessel in that season, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you prepared for him to work with you, to use you, to work on you as the vessel? Because God moves when the vessel is ready. Sometimes we are praying, but we are not ready yet. And God is dealing with you as a vessel. I love the word of God in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. You find out Moses grew up. His first 40 years, he was a prince. He was in a palace. Everything was great. And after that, if you look on those chapters, the word of God says that Moses tried his best to set free the people by his own way. And after that, what they did, they discouraged him. Who are you? And you find out as soon he killed the soldiers in Egypt, what he did, he ran away. And he went to in a desert. He was Mr. Nobody. He wasn't a prince anymore. 40 years later, the Bible shows that before that, the people of Israel were already slaves. Took another 40 years. What God is doing, another 40 years. And in chapter 3, that's where he started and said, I have heard the prayers of my people. I've heard their suffering. I've heard their prayers. I've seen what is happening in Egypt. And I will go. I will deliver them. I have come down. And he's speaking to Moses. And Moses thought, yeah, God have come down. God is going there. And then the thing changes. And he says, let me send you. This is the last thing that Moses want to do. He doesn't want to go back to Egypt. But for 40 years that he was in the desert, the vessel, Moses was ready. So God was saying, I will set free my people. I will release them through you. I have come down, but I'm going to use you. You are the vessel ready to go back to Egypt and set free my people. God does not work unless the vessel is ready. If we hear the life of Jesus Christ, the word of God speaks about him only when he was 12, and after that, silence. Everything is silence. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, the word of God says, Jesus increased in stature, and also he increased in wisdom. When God is silent, he's working with a vessel. I love how God works with Joseph. Joseph had a great dream. Boom, excellent dream. And after that, what happened? He was thrown in a pit. God is silent. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't, I am still with you here in the pit. No, doesn't say anything. The boy is sold as a slave to Egypt. God does not say anything. When he was in Egypt, he's falsely accused and thrown in the prison. God is silent. God is not saying anything. But God is using all these things to mold and nurture him for him to become what God wants him to be. So all this situation, God is not saying anything. The boy is in the prison. And he met two people in the prison there. And even say, remember me when you go out. Speak about me when you meet Pharaoh. Talk what I have done here. I have been thrown out. I am just in the prison. I didn't do anything. And what God is doing? Those people went out, they forget about him. They only remembered him when the king had a dream. And sometimes you are thrown in the pit. Sometimes things are not working all right. But God uses everything. Because the Bible says, all things work together for good for those who love God. For those who believe in him. And the word of God says also, do not walk by sight, walk by faith. Because what is sight? Sight is flesh, but faith is supernatural. Because your sight can discourage you. From the beginning, if you look at the life of Joseph, he wasn't a great dreamer. He wasn't saying, oh, how excellent it is when he was in the pit. It wasn't a big revelation when the boy was just a slave. It wasn't a big revelation when he was in the prison. But God was using all those things to mold and nurture him. God, when God is silent, he's working with you as a vessel. I was saying to one of the churches, you know, testimony, it means that you have been tested for you to have a testimony in your life. There's no testimony without being tested. If you want a testimony, you must be tested and then you have something to say. To the young people, life, it's not like putting something in the microwave. We have a generation with microwave mentality. They think life is just putting something in the microwave, 5 minutes and everything is ready. Life is not like that. It's a journey. And when we are talking about faith, living by faith is the ability to continue when God is silent. Amen. It's an ability to continue when the situation around you does not look like a blessing. That is what is faith. In life, that is what is faith. Living by faith. When we did get married, my wife and I, we married young. I was 23, she was 19. Amen. Hallelujah. It's great. Great time. And, you know, we had our first son. And after some few weeks, we find out that the baby was just crying and crying and crying. And what's wrong with this one? So at the end, we find out, well, and we just look at the belly of the baby wasn't normal. So we took him to the hospital. Knowing the hospitals in Mozambique at that time, they couldn't see anything. And we tried, and they couldn't explain what was wrong with the baby. One of the doctors says, you need to take this baby to South Africa. We didn't have any money to go to South Africa. But God opened a way. Yes, we took the baby to South Africa. Then the baby was diagnosed with liver cancer, which means he was born with liver cancer. They did all the testing. They did all they could do. We had our baby, our first son. He was with us for 5 months, and then he passed away. In the time like that, people came into me and said, this is your first son, how come, and all this stuff. Listen, stop asking questions. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. If you want to understand everything, you lose faith. The problem of us is we want to understand everything. We want to organize everything. It's impossible. God is the all-knowing God. And when you pass in the season that you don't understand, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And faith is not understanding everything. Faith is capacity to continue when you don't understand. And a lot of people came unto me and asked me and asked and asked and say, please stop asking. Because if we know, then what is the position? Where is God? Now, what we need to do is just believing in that time. But God uses everything to mold us. In a season that you think that this is not a blessing, this is not how things should go, but God is dealing with you as a vessel. You won't have a testimony unless you are tested. Amen. Amen. Now, what is faith? Continuing. When God is silent, you continue. When you don't understand, you continue. When you cannot see the blessing, you continue. That's what God wants us to be. And God is dealing with you the vessel. Learn to continue in the season, in the time when God is silent. Amen. Are you understand what I'm saying? How can I continue? That is what shows the power of faith. If you don't want to produce Ishmael in your life, because Ishmael represents the product of flesh, but Isaac, it is the product of faith. Because Abraham did not wait. He produced Ishmael before Isaac. What is happening? If you want to produce things of faith, if you want Isaac, he is the product of faith. But a lot of time as believers, we produce our own Ishmaels, things of our own way of thinking, our ability, our own choices, our own way of analyzing things. We didn't pray, we didn't do anything. Now, sometimes we are tired of waiting, and we produce Ishmael, the things of flesh, not the things of faith. Because things of the product of faith is for you to have, it only happens in the times of God. Amen. Paul says like this, I fought a good fight and I kept faith. Love that. This guy was a great church planter. He did a lot of things. But what he says, I've kept faith. If you want the product of faith, you need to be able to wait. You need to be able to continue when God is silent. So number one, when God is silent, he's working on you, the vessel. He's working on the vessel. Number two, when God is silent, he's putting things together. He's taking you to the places that you need to be. In that time that God is silent, God takes people to the place where they need to be. Still remember when I was 5, my family migrated to Zimbabwe. Mozambique is a Portuguese-speaking country. So we went to Zimbabwe. My family migrated to Zimbabwe. My mother took myself and the other two sisters, and we went to Zimbabwe. I was young. I was really young. We went to Zimbabwe. In that time, it was the time of civil war in Mozambique, because Mozambique had 17 years of civil war just after the independence. And we went to Zimbabwe. I was young, and my mother, when we went to Zimbabwe, 1994, my mother died, and all other siblings, they came back to Mozambique, and I was left in Zimbabwe. Still, my uncle says, my uncle looked at said to me, "You need to stay here. You need to learn English. You need to be here. We will take everybody back to Mozambique, but you stay here." It was the time that God was putting me in good places, in the place that he wanted me to be. Went to Zimbabwe, yes, he was preparing me as a vessel, because I couldn't be here preaching to you if I was only a Portuguese speaker. There are things that you don't understand, but God is using those things to prepare you for where he wants you to be. Putting people together, putting people that are going to help you. Jesus had John Baptist to speak about him. In the life of Joseph, Joseph met the baker and the butler in the prison. If he didn't meet the butler, no one will remember about him when the king had a dream. So where did he meet them? In the prison. So the prison didn't look like a blessing, but it was the right place where God wants him to be. Because it was in that place that he met the butler who remembered him when the king had a dream. And God's silence is taking you to the places. He's bringing you people that need to be with you in the right season. In the life of Joseph, we see God putting things together. He was falsely accused, thrown in the prison. The servants of the king must offend the king, and they were thrown in the prison. The king must have a dream before Joseph is remembered. God was putting things together. Looked like he was silent, but God was putting things together. To a student, a teacher does not teach you when you are doing your exams. If you didn't have any questions, all right, on the day that you are through, you are passing through an examination, you won't ask the teacher then. You don't have an opportunity to raise up your hand. I don't understand now. It's too late. The teacher is not answering any questions because you are passing through examination. And sometimes life is like that. God is preparing you. God is taking you to the places. God needs to put you in the places, in the right place, meeting the right people that will help you to get where you need to get. Amen. Point number three. When God is silent, he is teaching you that all things happen according to his agenda. Amen. Life is not like that. A lot of us, we have our own agendas. But if you want the things of faith, it happens according to God's agenda, not our own agenda. Abraham, he failed in that time. That's why he produced Ishmael. Because he failed in the time that God was silent. Your own ways, your own way of thinking. God doesn't want us to do like that. If you want to live by faith, wait on God, and only those things of faith happens according to God's agenda. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, Joshua, you have taken over a generation and to enter in the promised land. And the word of God says, the river Jordan was already there. Joshua had a new generation prepared to believe and to even, agree with him. God had prepared the generation that was ready to possess the land. God had put things together. The civil law, ceremonial, and the moral law was already written. God put him in a position, and everything was in order in the time of God. When God give you, when it is the timing of God, by faith, all things happen according to his agenda in his own time. If you don't wait, you will produce Ishmael in your life, which is a decision of flesh, not a decision of faith. I want to encourage you today, do not freeze out, do not lose faith. When God is silent, the difference between Caleb and Joshua was not because they didn't see the same giants. The word of God said Moses sent them, 12 of them, into the promised land. The other 10 came back and discouraged the congregation. But Joshua and Caleb, the Bible says there was a different spirit on them. What is different? Because they saw the giants by faith, not by flesh. That's the difference. Because the Bible says, walk by faith, not by sight. Because your sight is your flesh. It's your understanding. It's your own point of view. Your own way of analyzing things. But faith, it's supernatural. Faith sees life where life is not there. Faith is the way that God sees you, not the way that people see you. Faith sees beyond what is present. Faith is not limited by sight. And in a time like that, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And it's not easy when you cannot see the blessing. It's not easy when God is not answering. It's not easy when everything that is around you look like Joseph in a pit, Joseph in a prison, Joseph who is falsely accused. You cannot see blessing in that time, but God uses everything to mold and nurture you to the place that you need to be. For you to have a testimony, you must be tested. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we are creating other people. There is this new way of Christianity that is based on convenience, not based on faith. Because if it is your convenience, when it is convenient, you come. When it is convenient, I worship God. What about the day that you will be tested? Are you going to continue to worship him? Because faith sees beyond what is happening in the present. So I said to myself, when I look at it, faith is past, faith is present, and faith is future. Because by faith, you release the past. By faith, you overcome what is happening in the present. And by faith, you believe that there is a better future coming. How we know that you live by faith? Can you overcome in the time when God is silent? Amen. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? I want to encourage young people. Life is not like that. In life, sometimes 1 + 1 = 0. It's not mathematics. Amen. Amen. Life, 1 + 1 = 0. It's not a mathematical issue here. You live by faith. Still remember when I was young, when my mother died, my siblings were taken back to Mozambique. I didn't know what was happening. Coming from school, I was 14 years old. I was feeling vulnerable, feeling, you know, you feel vulnerable, feeling defenseless. And I slept under a mango tree. And God says unto me, you know, look at the mango tree. I said, God, it's just a mango tree. There's nothing special on a mango tree in Africa. A mango tree is a mango tree. Amen. And I slept under a mango tree. And God said, look at the mango tree. It's a mango tree. There's nothing special of the mango tree. But he said that you have decided to rest here. You're under a shade here. Now, if you continue and follow me and hear my word, I will always be your shade. And I will always be there for you. And that word kept me wherever in different seasons and different seasons of life. Even when he is silent, I remember what he has spoken. I remember. I continue because I know he is present with me. Hallelujah. Sometimes in life, God is silent. It does not mean that he is not working. When he is silent, he's working with you, the vessel. When he's silent, he's putting things together. When he's silent, he's teaching us that all things happen according to God's agenda. Hallelujah. I want to thank you so much as a church. You have been faithful supporting Robbie, and now you have taken over us. You are still supporting what is happening in Mozambique. And we want to thank you very much for your prayers and your support. What you are doing, it's what is producing preachers like us who is here preaching. So if you want to know, what are we really doing in Mozambique? This is what you are doing in Mozambique. I am here, all right? So don't ask for, all right? So you don't need photos and some, you know, DVD. And maybe you wonder what we are doing in Mozambique. For all those years, we have sent money, we have prayed for Mozambique. Maybe what are we really doing in Mozambique? This is what you are doing in Mozambique. This is the product. Better than a video. So I want to grab this opportunity to thank you for that. And thank you so much. Life, living by faith. Living by faith. And how can we do that? Even when God is silent, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. God bless you.
Can we give another show of appreciation for Pastor Pedro, Pastor Gida? How many of you are blessed by that word? When God is silent, I just want to share with you a testimony, okay? And this testimony is, a couple of months back, we were planning for who are we going to invite for the guest speakers for Grace itself, and I was just laboring on it, just thinking through that. And then came a phone call from Pastor Robbie, and Pastor Robbie said, "Hey, you know what, Pastor Pedro and Pastor Guido are coming over to Perth. Would you guys like to have them?" You know, I was like, "Oh, that's pretty interesting, you know, to be able to have someone coming in from Mozambique in the ministry, out on the mission field, to speak to us." So I had a quick chat with Pastor Stewart on this, and we said, "Yep, let's do that." And we put, we're so thankful that Pastor Pedro is able to make it today. And then, just a few days back, less than a week back, I was just thinking through, okay, Lord, you know, what is it that we're going to talk about? How do you want to minister to your people on faith? You know, because we have finished the book of Hebrews, and we are now having a transition to move over into the Gospel of Mark. And then I remembered very clearly there was one topic that came to my mind, and it's how do you have faith when God is silent, in the midst of silence? And I was like, oh, okay, Lord, that's a good topic. I wonder who will speak of it. And a few days passed, I was having a chat with Pastor Robbie and said, let me know what Pastor Pedro is going to be speaking. And then she sent the topic, she said, when God is silent. I was like, ooh. Whatever that Pastor Pedro has mentioned earlier on in his three main points, God is working, He's always working, even when we don't see it. Right? And He positions people, He positions timings, He positions things exactly where He wants them to be. We just don't know it yet. But when it unfolds and when it unravels and we see the glory of it, what comes out from it? Praise. Right? So can you see now, prayerfully, you will take now a step back and look at your life and say, Lord, I want to thank you. You have done all of these in my life so that you can reveal your glory to me and through me. And to you belong all the praise and glory. Amen? Thank you so much, Pastor Pedro. Pastor Gita, we always know that it is a ministry of one. Right, today we have Pastor Pedro, is the fruit of the ministry of Pastor Robbie, and also the fruit of Pastor Gilda in your life as well. It is a divine match, all right? So, this morning I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. What is God saying to you this morning in your life? As you just reflect on what you have gone through or what perhaps you are currently going through in your life, this morning's message, you can tell by now, is not a random message. God has purpose for this message to be spoken this morning at this time when you are here in this stage of your life. So what is God telling you this morning? What is God encouraging you to do this morning? You are not where you are by accident. You are not here in this age by accident. Whatever that you're going through and you have gone through and you're still going through, it's not by accident either. And God has spoken through His Word. So if this morning you are one of those who are experiencing a silence, when it seems to be just quiet. Or perhaps this morning you might find yourself that you are in a situation that is unexpected. Perhaps this morning you find yourself in a situation that you did not want to be in. Given a choice, you didn't want to be in this situation. But God has you exactly where He wants. So this morning, would you now say, Lord, I will choose to trust in You. Lord, I thank You that I'm not in control, but You are in control. Would you tell the Lord this morning, just tell Him right now, affirm to Him this morning, Lord, I trust in Your goodness. Lord, I trust in Your love. And Lord, I trust in who You are. And would You tell the Lord this morning, Lord, help me to have patience. Patience to wait upon You, and patience to wait for You. Would you tell the Lord that? I'm going to invite Pastor Pedro to just pray for all of us. And I want to encourage you to respond to the Lord as your personal prayer and just lift your hands and lift your hearts to Him.
Father, as we pray this morning, Father, You know each one of us. You know what we are passing through. But You say in a word, Father, that the just shall live by faith. Father, we pray that we will see You working even when we don't understand. Father, we pray for each member in this place. Father, You know our struggles. You know our decision. You know everything, oh God. And You know that, Father, we want to believe that You are with us. And You shall not forsake us. You live in us. Father, we pray that each member in this place, whatever we are passing through in different area, in our businesses, in our families, in our careers, Father, we pray that we know that You are with us. We pray, Father God, that everything works for good for those who believe in You. We pray today as we come before You, as a vessel, as Your sons, as Your daughters before You, O God, that we are in Your presence. You will not forsake us. You will stand with us. Not only that, the Holy Spirit that abides in us, that we call it the Paracletus, the one who stands, the one who is in us. Father, that remind us always that we are the temple of the Lord, inhabited by the Holy Spirit. And we are not alone in everything we do. We pray, Father God, for those who are discouraged, let them be encouraged. We pray for those who are sick, let them receive their healing in the name of Jesus. For those who want a decision, for those who are living, we are working in uncertainty, Father, we pray for new direction, that You will show us the way in the name of Jesus. As we give each person in this place, as You know our needs, as You know our desire, we pray, O God, that You will respond to our desire and You encourage us to continue the journey. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we thank You. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Pedro. Shall we all rise to respond to the Lord with this song?
I trust in God.